Eric Kropp is a hospital pharmacist convicted of involuntary manslaughter after a two-year-old girl received a fatal injection of saline solution more than 20 times the intended concentration. A pharmacy technician working under Eric on a very busy day accidentally mixed the clear saline solution incorrectly. By signing off on her work, Eric sealed his fate.
I wish I could change it. I wish I could change places with Emily Jerry. I wish I was the one that was dead sometimes. And it's just the way, because I didn't have anybody there for me either. And it hurts.
Well, I think the criminalization is a terrible thing. Because both the examples that I know, fortunately, there have only been a few, but in every case, there were obvious explanations for why the mistake happened, and those explanations all have to do with the systems they were working in.
Well, we now have a safe practice around care of the caregiver, which define good ways to deal with the people involved at the providing end of care. They need help. They need healing. They need support. And you need them. Sometimes the best knowledge you could ever get that will allow you to redesign the care system for which you are responsible will come from the very people who have been trapped in the spider web of cause and effect that's led to the injury.
3 years after the death of Julie's patient, the hospital published an independent study revealing that multiple systems issues contributed to setting up Julie's error. An honest mistake anyone could have made. Never shirking her accountability for causing a death, Julie has moved on as a TMIT patient safety fellow to help save other lives.
Hello, is this Portland General? Hi, could I have your patient safety department?
She is helping measure lives saved and dollars invested in safety from the impact of video stories now being used in thousands of hospitals deployed by TMIT. One of the many video stories is about a little girl named Josie King.
I would like to share my story with you. I do this with the hope that what I'm about to tell you will make a difference in how you care for your patients and how strongly committed you and your hospital are to patient safety. Josie was admitted after suffering first and second degree burns from climbing into a hot bath. Josie's death was not the fault of one doctor or one nurse. It was the result of a total breakdown in the system.
The power of stories is incredible. In Story Power, The Secret Weapon, our article targeting healthcare leaders, we share some of the secrets of the power of connecting the head to the heart to prompt action. In it, we present the preliminary results of the Josie King story and its impact on 2,000 hospitals. It revealed that the majority of users have seen lives saved and money invested as a direct result of viewing it.
We can control hospital errors, and we can save the lives of other potential victims, other helpless children.
Well, the battle is one little life at a time, I think. That's what the battle is. You know, one mistake at a time, one little life at a time. And the war is really... The end result of the war would be taking medical errors down to zero.
So you need three things. You have to start with engaged leaders. Then practices that work. Then, if you implement the practices with great technologies that make it easier to be safe, you have the winning combination in the war on preventable harm. Here lies the sweet spot of high performance and safe care. Many hospitals are getting extraordinary results from ordinary things they already have today.
My biggest lesson has been to empower the staff. We spent 2 months listening to 250 people in this organization about what we could do to make it better. We came up with a list of 72 recommendations. 71 of those came from the staff. That's what we're implementing, and that's why things are getting better.
Harry?
Hello.
Hi, this is Amanda. She's going to be your nurse this evening.
An example of staff-led innovations is ShareRounds, developed at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, which helps nurses include patients in the process of passing on information during shift change, making the patient and family part of their own safety net.
It's really hard to understand how your day is going to go without visualizing the patient. We used to give report right out at the nurse's station or in the back room. The nurse would sometimes write report or tell you in person, but you can't really assess a person or be prepared for your day until you actually see the patient in person.
So they kept the IV fluids going. He's got LR going at 150. The first thing we do is we can get an overall picture of how the patient is doing.
So they'll write prescriptions for you on the day of.
We can see that he's doing well, his pain is under control, and maybe address any needs right away.
I'll be leaving now, but Amanda's going to take great care of you tonight.
This way, before I leave, the patient is comfortable with who his next nurse is.
I feel more involved. It makes me feel reassured that the nurse coming on knows exactly what's going on with me, and they are in coordination.
I can ask questions as well, and if there's something that I'm concerned about or I'm thinking about, I can bring it up because the nurse that's going off knows perhaps something that we've discussed earlier, and then it sort of reminds all of us to pass it on to the nurse that's coming on.
No problem. Have a good evening. She'll take good care of you.
All right.
I'll see you guys in a little bit.
Okay, thanks. All right. Bye.
I definitely think that this could be done at any hospital.
Knock, knock. Good morning, Ms. Hunt.
Hi.
Hi there. This is Casey. She's going to be your nurse this morning from 7 to 3.
Just by changing the routine a little bit, and that might be a bit of an adjustment, it actually is just that simple. It's just bringing it in to the patient.
And then her IV was changed yesterday, so that's good.
I don't just think it should be done, I think it needs to be done. I mean, it provides for the safest way to care for the patient.
Another great cost-free initiative is the IHI Open School, which puts healthcare students into the safety game. Literally thousands are joining the action.
Check a Box, Save a Life. That's a program devised by medical students and nursing students and pharmacy students who realize that students, when they're in training in hospitals, can introduce the surgical checklist as sort of change agents at, from the inside. The medical students calculated that a medical student during their surgical clerkship, when they're learning surgery, is involved in enough operations that if you do the math, if they could get the checklist used in all the operations they're involved in, one life would be saved. Check a box, save a life.
Dennis, are you surprised that we're just starting to use checklists in healthcare and having impact? You're an experienced pilot. You know the value of a checklist.
I can't believe it, to tell you the truth, that it's not there. It's how much does this cost, right?
Exactly.
It's the most important piece of equipment, really, on the airplane.
We're taking the World Health Organization checklist and we're combining it with the regulatory requirements so that we can use it in every operating room in America. Checklists help make things simple, predictable, standardized. They enhance communication, just like they do in airplanes.
Okay, we were just going through the checklist, right? You were calling it out. We got the beacon, and I said off. What does the checklist say?
On.
On. So, we missed that.
We missed something on the checklist.
Yeah. And that's why checklists are important. But they always have to be backed up by humans.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's human error.
Good point.
Right.
We're using checklists in our operating rooms so that we can make sure that we don't miss an element of care, that we provide safe care, and that we do it the same way every time.
I feel like we haven't even touched what checklists could do for us in medicine. Is that a fair statement or is that unfair?
No, it's absolutely a fair statement, Chuck. Healthcare is grossly understandardized. I mean, checklists are a tool to help us do our work, but they standardize processes. In healthcare, we have a very autonomous culture that is grossly understandardized. We got to make sure we have a checklist and ensure it's done on every patient, every day, all the time.
You know, what I see when I come down is we're functioning much more as a team in the operating rooms now, and I think that's huge.
If something's not working quite right, it can be
reported and acted upon before the next case.
Yeah, the checklist has been a real way of getting to that. I think one of the biggest patient safety things we've certainly seen in the ORs in my lifetime. I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Avionics master.
Avionics master is on.
Emergency lights.
Emergency lights on.
Beacon.
Beacon on.
Technologies make it easier to be safe. Once you've engaged leaders and staff open to improve their own practices, they deliver great impact.
Currently, there's just a handful of hospitals within the nation that have the barcode technology. If they did have this technology in place, I do believe that it would save more lives.
I'm just going to double check here.
The software matches the barcode on the medication to the barcode profiled for the patient. But does that safety check of the five rights: the right medication, the right dose, the right time, the right patient, and the right route. It does not do the critical thinking for the nurse. However, it does ensure that those five things are matching for the medication and for the patient.
Before we had the smart pump, we had a pump that looked similar but did not have a drug library. We'd go on the information we have on paper, essentially, as far as how to give a medication. Now that we have the smart pump, we're still responsible for knowing how to give these drugs, to follow the policy and procedure. However, this is a double check for us. We're able to program the pumps to know this is the way to safely give this medication. This is the rate. This is how fast you want to run it. You're going to use the barcoding system to scan your medication, scan your patient. Once you get all your checks and that everything matched up, you're then ready to hang your med. At the end of the day, this is what double checks your work and covers you as a nurse when you're hanging medications.
One of the interesting things is that using chlorhexidine with alcohol prep has shown that in type 2 wounds, which are the more common types of abdominal surgery and lung surgery, that that prep reduced the rate of infections by 40%. And we looked at our individual patients. We found that if we could reduce one infection of this type, that we would save somewhere between $2,000 and $4,000 per event. So if we could reduce surgical site infections in 10 patients using this, it would have paid for the entire conversion to a new prep for the entire institution. This really has been shown with evidence in a well-designed way what exactly we can achieve as far as surgical site infections. So where is the rationale for not doing it?